Right, here we go, Psalm 1 in front of you, and 2. We're going to be looking at both. Here's a quiz. Let's start with a quiz. And what were the Psalm? What did I call Psalms 1 and 2 this morning? The something Psalms. Gateway. Because they open the gate. They set the scene for the rest of the Psalm. They're a lot more preachy than the other Psalms. And they tell you things like who gets to sing these Psalms. Who's worthy? Caleb can't just get on the stage with Kelly Jones on Tuesday in the phonics concert. He doesn't have a right. Do we get to sing these songs? Well, Psalms 1 and 2 separate who is who. What else shall I ask? Who is the best musician ever? Gemma's dad had a good answer. Bach, who was, of course, a Christian classical author. Good thing he didn't say Wagner, who was a blatant racist and Nazi. But he made quite good music as well, didn't he? Hebrew music in the Psalms is the best era of music ever. We talked about that this morning. Better than John Mayer, better than the Stereophonics and the Manic Street Preachers. Finish the sentence. Let me write the songs of a nation. Yeah, it's a bit more quaint than that, wasn't it? A bit more pithy. Let me write the songs of a nation, and I care not who writes its laws. Music is a powerful thing, even more than the laws of a country. It can sway people. Well, these are God's music. Whitney Houston, who knows where she is with the Lord, but she got her song wrong, made it about herself. Don't make the Psalms about you. We'll get to the four main characters in a minute. It's about Jesus unless you're explicitly shown otherwise. For example, if people are confessing their sin, that's probably not Jesus talking, unless you've listened to Johnny's Bible study, which was heretical a few months ago. And then look for things like David when he says he's done nothing wrong. Test me. I think David did do a few things wrong, obviously about Jesus. And okay, Psalm 1 and 2. Blessed is the man, singular versus a group, plural. And I think we'll park that there. That's the recap. Right. Okay, let us begin. What did I say were the four main groups which keep popping up in Psalms 1 to 72, actually Psalms 1 to 50? Four main groups to look for, of which you are one of them, by the way. Go, one. Give me one. The righteous who take refuge in the Lord. Now, dare I say, there are some people in this room that are righteous and they take refuge in the Lord. Isn't that exciting? Immediately, these psalms become real to us then, don't they? Give me another group. The wicked who oppose one of the other groups that we haven't mentioned yet. That's a cop-out. The Christ, the blessed man, the King. Yeah. Not called Jesus in these Psalms.
Wow. When it says the Lord who saves, of course.
Yeah.
And if you have like an arrow in Hebrew, it is literally...
Yeah, okay, yeah, I can see, yeah. Jesus does mean the Saviour, doesn't he? All right, yeah, okay. The Christ, the blessed man... The anointed one. And finally, who else is mentioned? The Lord. The Father Lord, who has his Christ installed as a king. Okay? And the Psalms are all about the interaction of those four groups. So get reading, get enjoying, get confessing and repenting, get admiring. It is like a holiday brochure of one who is better than us. All right, and now we come back to Psalms 1 and 2. Which group are you in? Okay, that's the big question today. Which group are you in? Are you taking refuge in the Lord? Narrow is the way, and few are they who find it. May the Psalms really ask questions of you. Having said it's not about us, by looking at Jesus, ask yourself, who is he to you as well? Have you heard this? Safety is a myth. Safety for the unrighteous is a myth, but safety for the righteous is a myth as well. I'm sorry to depress everyone as we approach Psalm 2, but judgment is coming. Safety is a myth. No amount of locks on your window are going to stop the heart attack which is appointed by God. Unsafety is coming, if that's a word. No locked door is going to stop the stroke in your brain from happening, the seizure, and the sudden dropping dead. All attempts of safety are an illusion. Your next breath could be your last. Caleb turned 18 yesterday. It may be divinely appointed that 18 days plus 2 is his last on planet Earth. I hope it's not, Caleb. But we must be ready, mustn't we? A footballer died today, 31 years old, Italian footballer. Dropped dead. There's no guaranteed safety. Now, is there guaranteed safety for Christians? No. Peter says fire is coming upon you because you're believers. Paul talks about many afflictions coming to God's people. Timothy talks about those who desire a godly life will be persecuted. So, are we taking refuge in a certain king mentioned in Psalm 2? James, in a loud voice, please read Psalm 2, verse 6. Have you got it?
Yes.
Go on.
Yet I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion.
I, the Lord says, have set my king on Zion and my holy hill. Have you taken refuge in the king? I could stop the sermon there. Have you really? Johnny, please turn up James chapter 2, verse 10. Now, I'll tell you something which makes me afraid. You can pass a degree by having 40%. That is a 2-2, I think, isn't it? 40 to 50 is a 2-2. Oh, a third, yeah. 50 to 60 is a 2-1. And the rest is a first. You can pass a degree on 40%, which means there are surgeons performing operations on people today who have got more things wrong than they've got right. But they've qualified. Okay, Alice, I mean, come on, it was an illustration. All right, there are people who write books that have got more things wrong in their lives than they got right. Thank you, Alice. You can pass an exam by failing more than you pass. Yeah, amazing, isn't it? Johnny, as I'm just pressing this on it now, wait, let me ask a question first. In Psalm 1, you're not blessed if you've walked in the counsel of the wicked, Psalm 1, verse 1. Have you ever taken the advice of a wicked person or followed a wicked person who's not Jesus? Adam and Eve did, dare I say, everywhere the human ever has since. Okay, how's the exam doing? What's the pass rate? Oh, yeah, I listened to someone bad a few years ago. I'm influenced by some bad things a few years ago. Okay, Johnny, just read James 2, verse 10. Okay, if you stumble in one point with the law of God, you get an F. Like 99% first doesn't cut it. You get an F. So I just want to press you here. Do you realize, first and foremost, that there's a king installed that you need to take refuge in? All right? I know this is talking about nations raging, but do you hear in your heart, oppose the king, or have you bowed the knee and kissed the son? How many times do we hear sermons and think, oh, I wish so-and-so was here to have heard that. It's for them. I think we've got to be careful, haven't we? Search me, O Lord, that I am not opposing you. Because if I failed once, I need to take refuge afresh again. how many churches are incensed when a denomination employs a homosexual bishop, but they actually haven't mourned over their own selfishness and critical spirit and impatience and anger for years. There's a king installed tonight, and if we have failed by one jot or tittle of the law, we're out. And if we're out, then we need to take refuge in the Lord. And your loved ones need to join you in reading these songs about the king, and they too need to take refuge in him. Okay? If I misplaced one comma in the exam of God, I get an F. My story is I've done more than misplaced commas. But the good news is, blessed is the man. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who fulfilled the law, every jot and tittle. And he blesses people. That's our hope. He meditates on the law of God because he loves it. There's no conflict with him. I love to be righteous. And that flows out of Jesus and lands onto his people, and they take refuge in him. Is that you tonight? Alice, have you got verse 12 there? If you just belt it out in a loud voice, particularly the last line.
Chapter 2.
Yeah, sorry, Psalm 2, yeah. Blessed are those who take refuge in him. May we this month in the Psalms wake up every day and kiss the sun. You know, thank you, Lord. In your own ways, count your many blessings. Count them one by one. Thank God for things in your lives. Did you know that it's becoming medically proven now that negative and evil thoughts, they can map them now in the DNA in your brain. And they grow like trees in your brain. Why am I talking about this? Oh yeah, because if you don't count your many blessings and really kiss the sun, what happens is these negative and evil things fester. And now science is just catching up to the word of God, which for centuries and millennia has been saying, think on pure things. Delight in the things of God. Hold your tongue. Hold evil thoughts. Why? Well, we're just finding out they can take over a person. I said to Caleb yesterday, you're 18 now. These critical years will shape you to what you'll be like when you're older. And you see a lot of seedy men when they're older. When did that start? It's when they didn't put the brakes on when they were young. You see a lot of nasty old women who can't help but smash everybody with their words. When did that start? Well, the tree was growing, wasn't it, when they turned 18. When they turn younger, and they never kissed the sun and took refuge in him. Here's a quiz question. In the New Testament alone, how many times do you think the phrase in Christ appears? Don't like give me some massive, don't say a million, which makes the actual figure sound rubbish. Start low so we're all amazed at it.
Five.
Five, yeah, more. To be in Christ, to kiss the Son, refuge in him. Five, oh, a little bit more.
It might be 20.
Ooh, 42. Imagine I wrote a book to you.
The whole New Testament.
The whole shebang. 27 books, is it? Imagine the Judas of Diary. What's it called, my book? The Diary of Judas. Just said over and over again. You've got to be in Christ, in Christ, get in Christ, be in Christ. You'd think, number one, you've wasted your £6. Or would you? You'd think, he doesn't want me to forget this. He doesn't stop saying it. All right, 40 more. 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 More.
300?
No.
You spoiled it, PJ.
I'll tell you. 217 times the word is used again and again, be in Christ. Take refuge in Christ. And he makes us righteous, him. So if you want to change and repent and have faith in him and really praise the Lord as you read these psalms, It starts with Jesus, the blessed man, who doesn't keep his blessedness to himself. You read him in Psalm 1. He causes other people to prosper. It starts with his kindness to sinners like us. That is our hope. And we have the privilege of joining in songs about him. Hell is being outside of the refuge of God. Jesus Christ said, "You are dead already if you're not in me. Eternal life has not been given to you." So you read a verse 4 of Psalm 1, this blessed man, and then there's everybody else, the wicked, plural, who are not so. They're like chaff, they dry up and they perish. Now, there's children in our lives who are not yet Christians. There are elderly people in our lives who aren't. There are people in this valley who we love and we like. But they are, and may this hammer home this month, as you read, wicked in the eyes of the Lord. Fearfully and wonderfully made and loved. But they're also wicked and they're also hated by a God who hates sin. And often in the Bible, actually, God hates the people who commit the sin. Got to be careful with that. But that's another Bible study. Do you believe that? Will you pray for them as you read through these Psalms? All right, so we're coming to Psalm 2, and there's this one statement I want you to remember now. No one is as blind as the man who will not see. No one is as blind as the man who will not see. Now, Tom, have you got Psalm 2 in front of you? Just read 1, 2, and 3 again, and look at what the people are deliberately doing against the installed king, Jesus. Yeah.
Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles."
We're on a battlefield now, aren't we? People plotting against the anointed king and his Lord. The cry of verse 3 is this: God's put a bond, a cord around people, and they are trying to burst out. Cast your cord of love away from me. I read this yesterday by John Lennox. I wonder, actually, are the nations at the moment raging more loudly than ever against the king? Is that a good question? Well, is it? I don't know if it's a good question, but is it good in the sense of, is it right? Are the nations now raging more loudly than ever before? I'm not sure. But John Lennox was saying this in an interview I read yesterday. So much of human history has been based on Christian and Jewish principles. So much of the morals in nations are based on the Word of God. Like the American Constitution is packed with biblical principles. Right. John Lennox says, now more than ever, we're trying to break free from our historical, moral, national confines. And he said something that frightened me. He says, and once you do that, you can't put any brakes on it. It frightened me. We're breaking away from the cords of this king. And if John Lennox is right, if we do that as a nation, and if our leaders allow it, you will be hearing about the most unbelievable, atrocious things. Unbelievable, atrocious things being passed as normal in the next few years, won't it? There's no brakes on it. If everybody is now doing right in their own eyes and they break the cords of this king, there's no brakes on it, John Lennox said. That frightens me. Should frighten us as well as we pray to this king to strengthen his cords around these nations who are desperate to rebel. God has a rope around people. If they break it, there's no restraints and no boundaries. I remember watching Titanic and Leo standing at the front of the ship saying, "I'm the king of the world." And 5 minutes later, the boat sunk and he's dead. Isn't it? He goes down. Everyone outside of the king and those who are taking refuge in it goes down. Nations go down as they chant, "We're the kings of the world." They're not. God has set his king in place. We need to pray this month for the nations, for the rulers. Nobody ultimately dethrones him, and we need to bow the knee. Gemma, have you got verse 6 and 7? And we'll call this bit, he always wins, this king. He always, always wins. Verse 6 and 7. The son is king. Mutiny is futile. I used to read this wrong. I used to have a picture of Jesus laughing at people raging against him. Ha! You idiots! I can't wait to throw you in hell. It was actually, he's laughing at their pitiful attempts to get away from his rule. And it breaks his heart. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, isn't it? These attempts to escape his rule, his ultimate rule, are futile. And he wishes they would repent. 8 and 9. Nothing overthrows his king. Gemma, give us 8 and 9.
Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel.
Nothing overthrows him or his church in the end. Now, I want to end with a big vision that this king is in total control of your lives and ours. Caleb went to Auschwitz the other day. In the Heath Church, there's a lady who had a grandmother in Auschwitz. And she lost all of her possessions. Her hair was shaved off. And a prison number tattooed on her arm. She wrote a little leaflet, actually. We used to give them out in this church. Like a gospel tract. Around her, all her friends were starving to death. And they were cramped in unsanitary, diseased conditions. Their guards were cruel. They tortured people and shot them for no reason at all. Now, ultimately, the driving force behind those atrocities was satanic, wasn't it? It was satanic. The devil loves that behavior. For every child that was thrown in the oven, behind it was a laughing Satan. Do you believe that? But all of that army of darkness was fueling the attempt to dethrone this king and his church and his righteous people. And they failed. They even killed him. But they didn't dethrone him because he's in charge. No one beats the king of Psalm 2. Now are you in him? He even gave them breath and strength to kill him, so that he could abolish death forever for his righteous people. He always wins. So when you get David crying out for help against his enemies, there's the Lord crying out for help against his enemies. And he smashes them with the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you in him? I got some interesting stories about how the Lord always wins. It's interesting. And his church always wins. Luther, Martin Luther, was shunned by the church. And the Pope, sorry PJ, released a bull denouncing Luther as a heretic. Now a bull was a papal document. Got to the point where they just hated Luther. Shut up about your justification by grace and faith alone. Anyway, so they called a national attempt to burn Luther's Bibles and books. And they gave Luther 60 days to recant, or else he's excommunicated and executed. But many of the people appointed to go around Germany and parts of Europe burning Bibles and Luther's books couldn't read, and they were illiterate. So what happened is Christians started handing them heretical books from the Pope. And so they're all burning the Pope's books. I find that funny. No one dethrones the king. And in the end, Bibles were circulated throughout Germany and beyond. Someone said this, how unspeakably wonderful it is to know that all of our concerns are held in hands that bled for us. May the Knotts know that blessing in their holiday this week. As Mr. Knott doesn't sleep at night, he is held in the arms of the installed king, who didn't reel back from giving his life for Mr. Knott. That's what we're dealing here in Psalm 1 and 2. Remember, unsafety is promised, but the king is still the king, and we take refuge in him in our unsafety. God is sovereign. If Psalm 2 is true, then we don't have the luxury of despair. You're not allowed to despair as Christians because the king is installed. Despair is self-indulgence if there is a king reigning. Just pour out your hearts to him. Just after these psalms were finished being compiled, the Babylonians came in, and you get the story of Daniel. Imagine how much they had to believe this when they were shipped off. And we've done this before, but the names of Daniel. Does anybody remember what Hananiah means? Daniel and his buddies had Christian names, didn't they? And all of a sudden, their world is turned upside down, out of comfort, thrown away into exile. Hananiah meant, and we always say, don't we, imagine the parents naming their children this. Hananiah meant grace from the Lord. Mishael, anybody knows what that means? That means, and I love this one, the one who was asked for. Oh, I love that. I'd love to meet Mishael's mum. I've asked the king for a child, and he gave one to me. He was wanted by his parents. Azariah means I hear the Lord. Anyway, all of a sudden, they're thrown away. The world turns upside down, like people we know, maybe like you. And suddenly they have to trust Psalms 1 and 2 more than ever before. Because they're renamed Belshazzar, which means secretly hoarded treasure. They're renamed Shadrach, which means Aku's command. Now, he was a Babylonian god. Hey, I got a new name. What is it? Aku's command. Ooh. Meshach means belongs to Neb, another god. Abednego, servant of Nego the god. Well, thank God that we haven't gone that far yet in this country. But still, the king reigns. Are you scared of the Muslim uprising in 2018 and 2017? You scared? There was another one that happened in the 15th century in Constantinople. They ransacked it. And scholars headed west and they headed east. And what happened is they picked up their manuscripts from Bible translation and they legged it, holding them. And what happened from that Muslim uprising was not the end of the king's reign and the end of the righteous people. The manuscripts found their way to a little old chap called Erasmus. And Erasmus got to work. And then what happened is new Bibles came out in new languages and filtered throughout Europe and the whole world. That was the last big Muslim uprising. The king is installed. You're to take refuge in him. And it ends with a warning. No one overthrows him. 10 and 11. Alice, one more time. Give us 10 and 11.
Now therefore, O king, be wise, be warned, O ruler of Judea. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling.
Serve him, my friends. It starts with us. Warnings are a wonderful thing. Owen, it's snowing. Don't go out. Didn't listen to Rita's warning. Tried to get a Rushi. Got halfway up the road to the top club. Car gave way, slid backwards at an angle all the way down the back of the hill, down the hill, with people lining the streets going, "Oh, what's he doing in his car?" Got out the car, ran to Rushi. Commitment. Didn't listen to Rita's warning. But there's a serious warning here. Don't go there in opposition to this king, lest he be angry. And he is angry at the wicked. So we're to pray that our rulers take refuge in him. It seems that if rulers operate a certain way, it has massive implications on a country. Massive. Pray for your rulers. Precision is key here. We're to celebrate the God of the Bible. He will judge with overwhelming, unrelenting force. It's kiss the Son or die. That is what we're presented with here. So will you run to King Jesus and find him in the Psalms, celebrate him with fear and with trembling and with joy? And I close. Some people hate Muslims at the moment. Quite a lot of people do. I think the issue is they haven't seen that the same sin that is in Muslims is in them, and that they too need to kiss the Son. And that you here today need to kiss the Son, and kiss him when your life is turned upside down, and trust him. Islam is not the number one cause of war. Jesus spelled out what the number one cause of war is. From within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of covetousness and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride and foolishness. All these things are evil and proceed from within, and that defiles us. Now I ask again, will you take refuge in the blessed man who earns heaven for you? Will you follow him and love him, seek him and enjoy him this month for his name's sake? Amen. We're going to close by, if you want to celebrate communion again, I'll come around now. I'll